This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you ka-ching. Ka-ching. Come on, guys, we talked about this. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And once you start selling, Shopify makes getting paid simple by instantly accepting every type of payment. What I love about Shopify is how, no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. You want to grow big? Shopify. You want to grow small? Shopify. You want to grow medium rare? Also Shopify. Shopify powers 10% of all commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. You are listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 219, brought to you by InStock Trade, C2E2, and iFanboy listeners like you.
Do something, anything, do something.
Hello, welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 219. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and I'm here with Ron Richards.
Hello!
And Josh Flanagan.
It's very good to see you both.
Oh, you went all serious. Nice.
Yeah, and you're wearing an ascot, I believe, right,
Josh? Hello!
At iFanboy.com, we like comics. We read comics. Every week, we read a bunch of comics. This week, we definitely read a bunch of comics.
Yeah.
One of us picks the best one. They like the best. They write about it on the website. We talk about it on the podcast, along with various other topics of interest, the rest of the books of the week, all kinds of crazy, crazy ascot stuff. Before we get to the show, quick reminder and a warning. This is a review show, so we will be talking about things that happened in this week's books. So if you haven't read them yet or you're worried about spoilers, be careful. Use the show notes. Pause the show. Read your books. Come back. It'll be happy times for everybody. Josh, you poor son of a bitch.
You know, well, I don't know what it is, but every single – why come I have to pick every time Green Lantern or Blackest Night comes out?
Or when 90,
why is that?
Or when 90 book ship.
Yeah, that was kind of a bitch. Yeah.
You know, the thing is, though, like last week when I had to pick, I had a couple of books that I loved. But for the most part, I thought it was a pretty, you know, uneventful week. But this week, I loved like five or six books. So on the one hand, you had a lot to read. The other hand, it was a lot of good stuff to read, I thought. So.
There were five or seven books this week that could have been pick of the week contenders.
Yep.
I mean, like, I'm not kidding. Like, it was really hard.
I bought 24 books.
I bought 28.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Okay, so if there were a lot of books that were contenders, you know, the Detective Comics thing is getting ridiculous. Really. I loaded up the page and I was like, again?
Yeah, like, people don't ever say that when you talk about whatever. Anyway.
Well, we've picked how many times? Rucka's Run Alone. And I'm teasing you on this. I'm not disputing it. But Rucka, like, this is like an epic run for a writer in terms of the
pick
of the week. Like four now, maybe five?
We haven't had this happen since the last time Rucka had a book of Batman.
Exactly.
World.
Exactly. This is Rucka hitting his stride, and this is him. You know,
it's Detective Week. Detective Comics 861 is the pick of the week.
Right. Written by Greg Rucka with art by Jock or Mark Simmons. Simpson? Something like that. The thing about it is Rucka's been through, like, when Gotham Central was coming out regularly, Connor and I could not pick it enough.
Right. That was back when nobody cared.
And then
not about Gotham Central, I mean about iFanboy.
Right. Not even you.
Not many people cared about Gotham Central either. You know, critics liked it. And the same could be said about his detective run. I mean, like the first time. So this is no you know, new thing for him, because as we know, like, he was out of it for a little while, and you know, just for the last year, he's back and he's getting better as he keeps going. The thing about this is, though, for this pick for me is you took a guy who's probably my favorite working writer right now, and you paired it with a guy who's probably, you know, if not my most favorite, very close favorite artist. And then, as I said in the review I wrote, you know, on page six, basically we were back in Gotham Central, and it was being drawn by Jock. And I was like, this is too much for me to not think is my – this was just – for me, this was perfect. You know, this was as great as a comic book gets to a guy like me. Which is why I went with it, because it's my pick. Damn it.
That's fine. Although I do find it interesting, like looking in the post, like in the Thursday morning quarterbacking, that there was a lot of negative reaction to not they're crazy, by the way, but a lot of people who fell in love with J.H. Williams weren't too happy to see Jock. I thought
I heard a lot of that. Actually.
I do disagree with them because I do love the Jock. I mean the artist named Jock. No, and so I disagree with them. And then also, and if you're on Twitter, if you follow Greg Rucka, some people had some issues with the storytelling in this. I didn't.
That was
personally.
The only thing. I mean, we're hijacking Josh's thing, but
yeah,
I don't care. I read this after Josh made the pick of the week. I had so many books I didn't get finished till part two in the morning, but I was so happy to not have the pick of the week. The only negative I could possibly say about the book, and I thought it was excellent, I gave it 5 stars. Was that this was a book told with parallel storylines that ran from two different time periods. And unless you were really paying attention, you didn't realize. They didn't do a good job of signifying that they were two different time periods. Like when you had J.H. Williams doing it in two different art styles, it was easy to tell.
Right.
So here, unless you knew that the yellow circle around the bat symbol means that's an old Batman, and if you didn't catch the line about Captain Gordon instead of Commissioner Gordon, and in the very first page, the guy says, I'm not going to be a costume supervillain like those ones that have been showing up lately.
Yeah,
you wouldn't catch those hints.
They were very subtle. And was it two or three different time periods?
It was two.
Okay,
I think it's two.
Because I was reading Ruckus Twitters, and I thought there were like two different Gordon periods and then the Batwoman period. But I could have misread because I was at work.
So. Well, it could have been Gordon. I think Gordon was in one of the recent periods.
Yeah,
he's in both. He's in the present and the future.
That's right. What it is. Yeah, that's what threw me off. I'm sorry.
And his hair is very slightly.
I didn't realize at first what was happening, and then when Maggie Sawyer showed up, what I thought was the past, I was like, wait a minute, she's supposed to Metropolis. And then
I'll fully admit I got this wrong. And in the morning. No, I mean, but the thing is, at the end of the day, like I thought about it, and I was like, it still didn't change my journey of the book because the themes. The story itself was exactly the same.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There was a parallel story about Batman going after this villain cutter and about Batwoman going after this villain cutter. And if they weren't doing it at the same time, but it was still, you know, still different. And one of the things that threw me off is that early on, Rekha said that he was being very nonspecific about which Batman it was. And so when I saw the yellow circle and I thought, oh, he's acting more like Bruce, I just went, well, that's just because he's writing it that way. And then the other thing is you guys all know that the character design is fairly inconsistent among comic books.
Right.
So the fact that he had a yellow circle around him, I just thought, well, I don't know if that.
That's a fairly major one.
For you maybe, but I wouldn't have picked.
No, but they made a big deal about it when they switched off of it back to the original symbol.
Yeah. And that's fine. I don't use that as a teller.
No, a lot of people missed it, and I think unless you're really paying attention, not to say you weren't, but I mean, you know, the clues were subtle. It wasn't like he hammered it over the head. There wasn't like 80s rock playing in the background of the Batman.
Right.
So it's interesting the choice to not do a narration box, you know, like I just find that interesting.
I like that choice. I think that Rucka is a subtle writer, and even more so, you know, like in Jock's style is subtle. I don't know. Yeah. And again, it's like I don't know if it takes away from it all that much because. But it depends on what you're looking for in it. Like, I think at times he's tried to be really vague with these stories, so I just went with vague.
Yeah.
And I was fine with that. Now, when you want to talk about the change in the artists, you know, Jock and Williams are very different.
Yeah.
They're very different art styles. So, if you've been digging the book, I get not wanting to see a change. In fact, I can even understand it, but like Jock, I can't, you know, he's as good a guy out there as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of your favorite guys. You like him more than you like J.H. Williams.
Oh, definitely.
Thing. Yeah. He's great. He's one of the top guys working. And
I wish we had more of him.
It really makes him so much more special.
Yeah.
I like that we don't see him that often, in a way.
Because it makes it special,
It does. And it really, like, every time he does something, like, it's a special thing. And And even like he did, what was that called with Vertigo with Mike Carey?
The weirdo one.
Yeah.
The one about the melting people.
Yeah. I didn't really like that all that much. It was subpar, but it was gorgeous. It's like, yes. And very rarely, you guys know, very rarely do I buy a book for art. And I bought that one all the way through because it just looked so damn good. And it's not a typical style. It isn't for everybody. I can totally recognize that. The faces look kind of jagged close up, and it's not necessarily realistic. But when you pull back, like everything works together as a whole. It's one of those things that if you study like a little bit of it, it doesn't work. But there's a big flow and.
So I don't even agree with that. I think they work individually. I think it's just a style that people may not like. It's not a clean style. It's not a
no.
It's not a style that tries to be photorealistic. It's as far from J.H. Williams as you can get, but it's a style all its own. I think the panels work just – I mean, he's a great artist. Yep. And if you've ever tried art – I mean, I used to draw when I was younger, and it's just as hard to do this as it is to do anything else. It just depends.
Well, it's very naturalistic. Like if you just look at like the curve of people's bodies and sort of just the line that sort of goes through everything, like it just – it all works together to make something that evokes – a life and a personality more than it necessarily, you know, has that photographic quality. And just even on the very first page, like I got excited because he uses like that, and he does it all through the Losers too. Faker was the name of that book, by the way.
Faker, yeah.
Right away, like he uses like a wide angle lens, and you can see a curve in the horizon, and I love that. That is such a neat effect that more artists, I don't want to say more artists should do, but a lot of people don't do it. And I don't know if he does it digitally or how he does it, but it's really neat. And that first page.
The first page is brilliant.
Oh my God. And I did not, like literally did not, until I went back, I did not see Batman, who is in every single panel, but I didn't see
him. Holy shit.
Oh,
see?
It's so good.
Oh my God. I didn't even see that.
Yeah, the first panel. You don't even realize
it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Then there, then there. Oh, that's awesome.
They're showing you what it is that it's like, you know. And it's done so well. It's just such a neat thing.
Well, I mean, what's funny because, you know, everybody's, you know, J.H. Williams did the cover, so you got a little taste of J.H. Williams, but then,
Did he? Yes.
Yeah, he did. But then, you know, like that, the two-page spread of the faces in half.
That felt influenced.
Yeah, it felt influenced, but it also fit in the tone of what is now Detective Comics or whatever this run of Rucka is with Batwoman and everything. And it was just nice to see a different artist continuing that, you know, challenging layout and that sort of thing.
I saw that two-page spread, and I was just like, I would give anything to put that on my wall.
Yeah.
Like, that's so cool.
Anything? Well, arrange that. When you got excited about Gotham Central reemerging, I was excited about that as well, but also whenever Rucka wrote Batman in this. Mm-hmm. I got really excited. I had flashbacks to 10 years ago when he wrote Batman. They've announced that they're moving on to Batwoman after this book in the next couple of months, him and J.H. Williams, but they weren't sure if he was going to stay on. I don't think he is anymore, and that makes me sad because I really wanted to see him get to write Batman again because he does it. He's so tuned into that character.
Yeah, he really is. And that first, I guess it's the page where they cut to the bow of the boat and Batman's up there and he's dripping with water. He's in shadow. It's just all, even just like the one word of dialogue, it sort of tells you now even more so like what kind of Batman we're looking at. And it's just done so well and so quietly. Yeah. It was everything that I want out of a book. And like, it reminds me of my favorite kinds of Batman comic books, which are, you know, which are not the same kind of books as say like a Green Lantern book or something like that, which I admit.
Yeah.
So that's why.
I also really like the backup. I really like, especially this two part story where they went to see the original Questions, old buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And, the backup doesn't get any attention because the stuff in the front's so good, but I think the backup is fantastic.
It's good, and I just almost, like, at this point, I'm almost like, just put the backup in the front so I can read it first. Because it's almost, you know, after the Jock stuff and the J.H. Williams stuff, it's kind of hard to keep up that momentum.
Yeah, agreed.
That's the only problem I have with it. It's good. It's fine. Like, if the thing is, if they release this in a trade paperback of all these stories, like, I'd buy this. You know, this is also Rucka writing Renee Montoya, who's one of my favorite characters too. You know,
and the Huntress, she does a really good job with.
I find myself doing is I read the lead story and then I come back later and read the backup.
That might not be a bad idea, honestly.
Yeah. And then it's twice my money. You know, I get double the whammy. You know, double the enjoyment.
I don't know, so, twice.
Yeah, well, twice. I mean, instead of reading the comic once and then putting it in a bag and a board, never seeing it again, I read it twice. So anyway, but it was good. I mean, I laughed when I saw you picked it because it was like, again.
I didn't want, like, the thing, it's in the back of my mind, people going, oh, it is. And, but I just.
I seriously thought you mailed it in and just didn't, only read that book and were done by 8 o'clock and watched TV and then went to bed.
That was not the case. One of the other books that on any other week could have been and has been in the past pick of the week was G.I. Joe Cobra 2, number 1. This was the continuation of the acclaimed series, one of our top three books of the years that I fanboy. A lot of anticipation for this one.
I was actually terrified for it because much like any sequel to a great work, especially one that's not planned originally, you wonder if they're going to be able to keep it going. If it's going to seem less than, if it's going to feel like a cash grab. Mm-hmm. But this was great.
The wonderful thing about it was that it was paced in such a way that for a little while you were just kind of reading it, and then you got to the end and you were like, boom.
Yep.
Like it was a great, great ending to an issue, and it was really good. Just like the others, it was paced in that same way. Like it wasn't front loaded.
It draws you in slowly and then sort of punches you in the mouth when you get to the end.
And it was everything that was good about the first series, same artists, same writers and stuff like that.
I thought the art was even better a little bit.
Yeah, I can actually see that. I think it was like they're just all locking into each other and really finding a groove with this, because now having done that first series, they've got like a confidence. You know, they've got, you know, we know what we're doing. We're going to do it really well. There's no unsureness in any of it.
I love scruffy bearded Chuckles.
And he's kind of skinny. He's been there for a while, and it evoked the first page, that first cover of the first book, and it was just really, really, really strong. I don't even know if there's anything else to say about it that we didn't before. But again, you know, on any other week, this could have been pick of the week easily, and it would have been the same thing as us picking Detective. Oh, the fourth of this out of six.
Yeah. But that's how good these series are, and I think that's unusual. I think people don't appreciate how unusual that is.
I look forward to reading it in trade.
All right.
Well, no, I mean, I read you got me the first one. It was great. I definitely, when this comes out in trade, I'm totally going to get it. It was great. Yeah. I just want to do it in issues. So.
Right. Well, Kick-Ass number 8 came out just, thankfully before the film.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And it ended.
Got close there for a second.
Really close.
You know what I would say about this is that for a little bit I was like, well, yeah, I could make this pick of the week. And I thought, that'll blow people's minds.
That would blow my mind.
At the end of the day, I think this might have been the single best issue of John Romita Jr. art I've ever seen.
Romita's art on this whole entire – like the thing is I love this issue. I love the series. Sign me up. When this comes out in hardcover, I'll get it. Like everything about this I've loved, and I thought this was a great ending, and it just totally hit for me on every point that I want from it. Even down to the ending, of course. Well, the last page is the typical Mark Miller middle finger end of Wanted ending, which I do acknowledge that. But I just loved how it ends on that last page, and then you get the big all caps type end of book one, and you turn, there's a 2-page spread that just says Kick-Ass. And then I really did like at the end of it, the kind of like the credits with the photos of the creators and the guys who worked on it, including sultry Chris Eliopoulos. That's like nice. That's a come hither look from old Chris there, isn't it? But I thought it was good to give, like, I really felt as if these 8 issues, this series together, was something that was different than anything else that's been published, and something special for them who've worked on it.
This is unlike any other book you're reading, and that's something to be said, which is when you've got a market full of hundreds of superhero comics.
Yeah.
Unless you're reading other Mark Miller stuff, to be that if you like it just
no,
felt
I even. I read a lot of Mark Miller.
I haven't read anything like this ever.
Yeah.
It's not. The shock value isn't enough. I wonder if they're going to have the little girl get beaten with a meat tenderizer in the movie.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do. I thought they handled like the ending, like when the kind of the epilogue of like where she ended up and stuff like that. I thought that was great, everything. I thought it was good, except for the kid coming home and seeing his dad having sex with the woman on the couch. That wouldn't happen.
I mean, and that's the thing about
that wouldn't happen. That's probably the most realistic thing that happened in this book.
What stood out for me about that though, and I mean. It was just like he made the point to say she's black, but like I was like, why does it matter?
Yeah, that's true. That's good
and point. And like that stuck out to me.
Yeah,
and that's one of those little things about a Mark Miller book.
Yeah,
that I noticed that isn't like it's just not for me.
Are you saying Mark Miller's racist?
No, I'm saying that I'm saying he's probably got a different idea of political correctness, which isn't necessarily bad, but he comes from a different place. And
I really did to change the subject quickly. I really did like how they handled. They said he's the Kick-Ass story, how he gets the girl, but then it went in the reality direction.
That was weird, though, because he goes, yes, I did get laid. And then he told a story about how he didn't.
Right. And then he says, okay, maybe not. You know what I mean? Like, it was, he was still in his kind of little fantasy world, but then we saw the reality of it. And I thought that was very funny. So,
no, and I'm not even saying I didn't like the story. I did. I enjoyed the story, but it's like, he's just not my favorite. It's a taste thing, but whatever. But I really think, like, I was reading this going, based on art alone, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And I really thought that John Romita Jr., who's a master, stepped up even way more. Like, I was blown away by it.
If this is the one, I mean, because John Romita Jr. has been a company guy since the 70s, right? He's been Marvel, and I'm not sure if he has any other creator-owned properties.
Yeah, he's got one, the Gray something.
Okay. Well, they're not making a movie of that.
So, they were. It was in development.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, everything's in development. But I mean, like, at least to, you know, for to see him do a great series and then let it become a movie and, like, make some bank off it, that's, I'm so happy for him, because he's been one of my favorite artists since I was, like, a kid. So, yeah. So,
good, you know, what's the most amazing thing, more amazing than the art, is the fact that it finished.
Yeah, I know. You didn't believe it would happen, did you?
Well, when you look at the other stuff, the Mark Miller stuff, where's War Heroes?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly.
They even had a tour for that.
I know, yeah. Oh, God. Anyway. it wouldn't be a week with comics if it wasn't for another week in Blackest Night.
This was the overwhelming community pick of the week. I think 50% of the people picked Green Lantern number 50 as the pick of the week.
I thought this issue would have been a bigger deal. Like, I mean, I know it was big in iFanboy on the community, but like, or just a rant in general. I didn't hear people talking about it that much. You know, like, you know, my friends read comics or in the store or anything like that.
Can I tell you something? I loved this issue. This was probably my favorite of Green Lantern all along. One reason was that I thought that I thought Monkey was really on his game on this one. We've talked about some of them where some of the pages were less than spectacular than the others, but I thought this whole thing was very crisp.
Well, do you think it
could have
been helped by the army of inkers?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, Christian Alame, Rebecca Buckman, Tom Nguyen, Mark Irwin, and Doug Monkey all inking it.
The thing that did bug me a lot about this one, though,
was that
the cover spoiled it.
Oh.
The cover spoiled the reveal on the last page. If that hadn't been there, if I hadn't seen this cover, it would have been a whole different experience for me, but I knew it was coming.
Interesting.
And I think that was a bad call.
It's the one case when Ron's favorite thing hurt the book.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's not 100%. It's not a truism. It's just, you know, when you can make the cover. But it would have been neat to, like, to show the parallax thing and have, you know, Hal and Sinestro fighting over it or something.
You didn't have to actually show Hal as Parallax come back, because that really took away from the reveal at the end, which I think would have been a lot more powerful had he not been on the cover.
Right. Well, to be honest with you, I enjoyed the art of this issue. I didn't like I feel like it's a little late in the story to now throw Parallax into it, even though I know Parallax is part of the Green Lantern type thing and all stuff like that.
It's funny, though, because this is the same thing. It's the same thing that happened in the Sinestro Corps War, except it was Kyle in that one.
Yeah, you're right.
It's exactly the same trick, and it happened at exactly the same time.
Yeah.
Totally, I'm at that point where I was with Sinestro Corps, where I want to get to the finale now.
Yeah.
I'm not that I'm not enjoying it. I'm just ready for the finale.
Yeah.
You know, we've been doing this for a long time.
This has been a long day, by the way.
The villain. It's the knight.
Yeah.
It's the villain who they switch villains on us in this, and now it's the Black Lantern Spectre.
Yep.
So like, it keeps changing. Which I guess is kind of the point, because there's endless hordes of everything coming after them.
Right.
And this is a fun book, and you know it's the same as it's been. Like, every issue has been, you know, this was a good one, but every issue has been kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Let's move along. Let's get to Necron.
Well, speaking of moving along,
let's finish Flash Rebirth.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Yeah.
Where's that issue?
Well, speaking of moving along, how are things going in my favorite comic book town, Connor?
We have reached the end of a long journey, my friends.
Oh yeah.
We are at part 6 of 6 of the Archie Happily Ever After story, where
Archie 605, right?
Archie 605. Archie gets to have his cake and eat it too.
Both of them at the same time?
It really went to a dirty place.
Did it really?
I wasn't expecting. No. This was the part, that, if you recall earlier, Archie walked up memory lane, went to the future, married Veronica, had trouble finding a job, wore a ugly plaid shirt.
Ron bought it, by the way. I said there was a threesome and Ron bought it. Really?
I totally
did do that?
He had twins with Veronica. And then to get away from the noise of the house, he walked back down memory lane, ended up in the, back in college again, where he this time took the path of Betty, marrying Betty. And this is the issue, last issue they got married at Pops. And this issue is the post life where Archie is a music teacher at Riverdale High. Little bit of Richard Dreyfuss in him.
And I was in Jaws. He did the same thing.
And Betty's also a teacher at Riverdale High, and they're happy, and they have kids. Also twins, which means Archie is very fertile. And you know what's funny? Because you know they're doing this story to show the future and basically placate both sides of the fandom, right? So you can have the Veronica fans be happy and the Betty fans. But clearly they're rooting for the Betty-Archie coupling because this is a much more stable, happy relationship than what we saw out of the future with Archie and Veronica.
Okay.
And I found that interesting. Also, the nerdy kid from school, Dilton, apparently discovered a parallel universe and disappeared into it, which is kind of strange. this book went into different...
He's Captain Atom now.
It's going to blow everything away. And then of course, at the end, Reggie and Veronica get married. And Jughead and Moose's girlfriend get married. And Moose is all into yoga, so he controls his anger so he doesn't pummel Jughead.
Oh.
And then Archie walks back down memory lane and does what we all wish we could do, is he gets to go back to being young, and he starts high school over. He goes back to high school.
So it was a reboot.
Well, he got to see the future, and then he's back in the past again. So
I wish I could do that. Like, I'm bored one day. I'm like, maybe I'll go back and try it again.
Let's see what happens if I said this.
I know.
I'd chosen the other girl. So it's been a fun ride through the future. And Archie is a kind of an egotistical megalomaniac I've gained from this. He's the music teacher. And you know, everyone knows, of course, he had his band, the Archies, when he was in high school, his rock band. He gains that he forms a music club out of his music class.
Are they called the Archies?
He names them, what's the name of the thing? Something with Archie in the name also. It's like the Archie group.
Well, that's branding. I mean, that's not ego. It's just branding.
It's a little bit of ego when you name it after yourself.
Yeah.
And you're not in the club.
Oh, he's not in the club?
No, he's just...
Oh, that's fucked up. Yeah.
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 So he names everything after himself. He's also got a little... I like that they gave him a little bit of a fatter face when he was older, which was a nice touch, but...
My first job was programming battery load lifters.
He's also wearing a very, very ugly green suit to teach at high school, which was...
Why was he a nerdy 3PO?
That was
Richard Dreyfuss. I was in Jaws.
You're ringing the dinner bell.
What was that movie when he was the music teacher?
Mr. Holland's Opus.
Yeah, that's kind of a feeling I got from that. He didn't have time for his own music, which I didn't even realize. I read Archie for years, and he was really obsessed with music.
He was, yeah.
That was his thing here, was he didn't have time anymore for his own music. So.
Well, you know, what screwed Archie was Napster.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
MP3.com.
Yeah, exactly.
It's huge on there.
So here's the question I want to know. Archie 606, are you buying?
I really enjoyed this tale.
This romp.
You gonna read it in trade?
They are hawking the trade in this issue.
Oh really?
Wow. Maybe that'll be iFanboy's book of the month for February.
I still think you should read the series that Norm Brayfogle's doing.
I read some of it.
Really? Yeah, the realistic one. Hmm. Yeah.
I liked it. It was good.
Yeah.
The digests. I don't know. I may or may not. I haven't decided yet.
Yeah.
It will depend on.
I love the Archie segment. I'm gonna miss it. It's gonna be great. It was great. That was a fun 6 months.
We haven't talked about X-Men forever in a while either.
Well, there's a reason for that. No, actually, this bi-week's issue was better than it has. But yeah. Did you see that Louise Simonson's coming back doing X-Factor forever?
Really?
Yeah, she's picking up her where she left on X-Factor. Yeah.
These people must be stopped.
Yeah. I love it.
That could go badly.
Yes. I think it's a mini. To be honest with you, I think it's a mini. Yeah.
Now, if Walter was going to draw it, that'd be something.
I think Walt might be involved in it. I think. Let me check with that. But yeah, Walt's
Facebook
awesome.
Friends with Walt.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's awesome.
He's awesome.
I would give anything for a Walt Simonson moment.
My first sketch ever was a Walt Simonson sketch.
Really?
It's up on my wall right now. It's that Thor. It's the first sketch I ever got. Love that.
Oh, no, I don't think Walt's on it. It's Dan Panosian.
I don't know who that is.
So it's. Louise Simonson returning to an X Factor Forever miniseries with art by Dan Panosian. So where her original run left off. I love that original run. Her run on X Factor was great.
I remember reading some of it and liking it.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
I bought the first issue at some point.
Yeah, I have that. Yeah.
Like later.
Yeah.
I was so like, I don't know why I need to have this.
X-Factor Forever picks up immediately after X-Factor 64. Wow, that's awesome. So it's the same, like 1991, the same time. Oh, that's so cool. So like,
This is you just reading a solicitation and getting excited about it.
Yeah, pretty
much. Let's move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of sketches, if you really want to get sketches, probably a very good place to do that would be the C2E2 convention. For the first time in over two decades, a national comic and entertainment convention is coming to downtown Chicago as opposed to just outside of Chicago. Make your plans now to attend C2E2, the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, this April 16th through the 18th. Join thousands of comic book fans, creators, and celebrities for a weekend of fun and excitement in the city of broad shoulders. I've never felt so much like Chris Niesman. Special guests for this year include Alex Ross. He's from Chicago. Jeff Smith, Jeff Johns, Mike Mignola, Ethan Van Sciver. I know
where you can see him drawing Flash.
You watch his hand moves very slow. And hundreds more of your favorite creators. Tickets are only $25. That really is a good deal. For a one-day pass or $50 for the entire weekend. For a full list of guests, events, and to purchase tickets, go to c2e2.com. But wait, there's more. C2E2 and iFanboy, that's us, are giving you a chance to win tickets and exclusive C2E2 merchandise before the big weekend. We'll be giving away one amazing VIP package, three weekend passes, five exclusive C2E2 posters signed by creator and guest of honor Alex Ross, and 15 limited edition C2E2 t-shirts. That's a lot of stuff. And the grand prize is lunch with an editor from Marvel.
So that's a lot. I didn't realize. That's a lot of things to give away.
It really is. Yeah. I didn't know we were in for this much work.
Well, we're not.
entering the contest is easy. Just visit www.c2e2.com/ifanboy and enter your name and email, and that's all you got to do. We'll be drawing winners from all the entries on March 19th. Stay tuned for more news about the official C2E2 after-party plans and more ways to win tickets and exclusive merchandise by following C2E2 on Twitter. That's at C2E2.
They're going big with C2E2.
Isn't that the really big finale for Around Comics at C2E2?
It is, yeah. I think the C2E2 after party is going to turn into the Around Comics after party, I think. Yeah,
yeah, but what will happen is that
I'm going to show up and I'm going to dance on their graves.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to piss on their grave.
what happens is afterwards they all go home, and then a week later Sal comes back.
Exactly. Oh, man.
Why are you guys going to be mean to them?
Maybe there wouldn't be so many inkers on Green Lantern 50 if Christian Alame wasn't there all the time.
Here's for all the people that don't know we're joking. Get mad at us.
They're our friends. It's all good.
Yes. No, but really, I'm going to go dance in their graves.
One down.
All right.
Next up.
You know what's weird, dudes, is that we did a whole show about how much we love this Astro City, and we do love Astro City, and it is one of the best superhero comic books of the last decade, for sure. I don't know why I'm buying it anymore.
I'll tell you exactly why. This is, we were talking about this, the stuff that you guys buy every issue of, no matter what.
Yep.
I own every issue of Astro City.
Yep.
And I'm not going to stop now.
See, now you know how it feels. Now you know how I feel.
This and Hellblazer are the only two things that I buy hell or high water.
Yep. Well, it's funny because even Kurt Busiek admits this is a bit much.
I was just going to say, if you read on the letter page, when he says, I think we can safely predict it'll be a long time before I ever think about doing another 16 barter.
Yeah, it was a mistake. Yeah. I haven't really liked any of this story, but I bought it because I love Astro City. But I don't think the characters are compelling, the main two characters. I don't really care about what happens to them. It's setting the past, so all the characters we like aren't around. And it's just like, I don't really care.
But the thing is that three more issues and it's over.
Yeah.
No, do we get a shorter one? I'm looking forward to that. It's just at this point.
Yeah.
Don't care about these two guys.
Yeah.
I liked some of it, though. Like, there were still things in it that I really dug.
I thought the art was real good.
The art was
better than it had been for a while. I love it when Silver Agent shows up.
Yep.
Yes.
Like, that means something. I really like the cover. I wasn't so keen on a straight, direct translation of Swamp Thing.
Yeah, I was like, oh, he's doing Swamp Thing. Okay.
Like, it even had the ellipses in the speech, and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Normally he puts a twist on it or something, but it was kind of exactly the same thing.
But whatever, I love it.
I liked the weird looking dude who has the psychic powers for bad things. I was like, that's another one of those great Kurt Busiek ideas.
Blindly devoted.
No, and that's the thing. It's there's gems in there, but overall, I just read this and I don't. Yeah. It's been how many 12 issues of this, and just like oh. Anyway,
but it's out, and so this begins the last four issue mini series, and then we can move on from that. But I still love it. I love the cover stock, by the way, on the cover. I thought it was great. This is the kind of cover.
The cover was real good.
Yeah,
it was soft Swamp Thing, basically. Yeah, so. You know what's weird, and you're probably going to find unusual, is that my pick of the week ended up being New Avengers 61.
Really?
Mine was close. Wow. I'm not lying.
Here's what I want. I want the classic superhero date issue between Superman, Spider-Man and Spider-Woman.
That was awesome when he said, are we on a date?
I want the whole issue of that. I was literally – this man laughing out loud a few times this issue. I think this was one of the better issues Bendis has written. I think he's re-energized.
But my only problem is that it has the Siege cover treatment and
Siege, yeah.
Yeah, nothing to do with Siege. So
it's like a lead-up Siege issue.
It's happening also, before Siege starts. That's the problem.
Yes it is. So, anyway.
This is Eminent though, right?
Yes.
Well, it's Eminent and Acuna. It was Acuna doing – Acuna did the date stuff and Eminent did the Avengers stuff.
Right. The Avengers stuff, the Eminent stuff was on fire. Yeah. Like, yes, he's great. He's the best artist has been on this book in a long time.
Yeah.
So that was really good. I really liked art this week, apparently.
Yeah, that's a good.
No, it was a really good week for comics in general, art. It was nice to see Steve back, even if he's wearing stupid black.
Well, we'll get to that in a moment. So, rolling along.
Walking Dead number 69. It's okay. You saw they come to Washington basically, and so it's really the first time that the group has ever entered an urban area, and so all
that's interesting.
Yeah, there's this whole other thing that they can do now. And I'm like, wow, they haven't done that. And the cover
probably since the first issue when they left the urban area.
But even then, it wasn't Washington, D.C., like, you know, a real concentration of people.
A real city.
The cover is the Capitol building, and it's like, you know, it's just like it's a haunting cover. Really, you know, really good. It's Walking Dead. It hasn't really slowed down, keeps walking. And there's this really creepy dude who's supposed to be friendly, and he's like slightly overly friendly, and they're trying to figure out if they want to trust him or not. And then
there's a pedophile.
We don't know. There's a real sense of uncertainty with this in a really good way. So it's been good. This is a good storyline. I'm really looking forward to the next one.
Cool. So Captain America Reborn number 6.
I like this. I liked this whole mini. I enjoyed this more than I've enjoyed the Captain America book itself in a while. And I'm so fortunate that all the baggage comes with it, and I thought even though, you know, obviously Steve Rogers is back and I've read him in 5 or 6 other books in the last couple of months, still the moment when he came back was, and everybody saw he was back and he sort of rallied the troops was still very thrilling, and that was what I'm looking for in a Captain America book. So in that sense, there's a lot that I liked in this, even with all the stuff that's going on around it.
I think this whole series at the end of the day was a big, like, 4 stars. It wasn't a 5-star series.
Yeah, and I think that's very, very accurate.
Yeah, so.
But it should have been.
Yes, it should have been.
And I think that's the thing that hurts is that it should have been 5 stars.
And honestly, I still don't understand why it didn't happen in Captain America. I mean, I understand now this is going to be a collection and they can market it that way and all that sort of stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it should have been, and I don't. And we said it last month, I don't think Brian Hitch was the right artist for this project. I don't think he fits with Brubaker. But even then, when Captain America shows up and holds a shield up in the air and everybody rallies, I was like, woo! Yes.
Yeah, so.
And I also, before we move on, I wanted to mention that I've already found what I'm getting both of you for Christmas this year.
What? Which is?
The 10-foot Thor poster.
I saw that. I was like, and I immediately went, ooh.
Please don't.
No, it's happening. I think you just painted that room. You can put it right up there.
You've been
in
my apartment. I don't have 4 feet of wall to put it on.
I really don't think I do either.
We can wrap it. You can wrap it. It can curve around.
Why are you covering like the windows?
Fantastic Four 575, Jonathan Hickman reunited with Dale Eaglesham, and a funny thing happened with this issue. I read it once and I really didn't like it.
And you know what? I feel like it's lost some of its magic.
And then I went back and read it again and I loved it.
Interesting.
And the thing was is that I think that I was expecting too much when I first read it, and then I kind of sat down, I read it at a different pace, and like the whole journey to the center of the earth, which when I first read it I thought was rushed and was too fast, but then the second time I read it, it just kind of clicked in place again.
It wasn't the journey that was too fast, it was the ending.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
got there and yeah. then we're out, and yeah. I was like, wait a minute, yeah. we skipped
the pacing
the whole
was all off
yeah.
this issue.
Yeah.
The best thing was the Eaglesham art. I'm in love with the way he draws Reed.
The Eaglesham art was fantastic. What I thought was really odd though was the last page recap Hickman laid out thing. Like that was like, that's weird. Like, so I'm really curious what the next issue is going to bring.
Yes, and I thought it was interesting.
Yes,
In that way, like I was like, oh, he decided not to tell that story,
which means like the Dragnet ending.
Yeah, totally. Because like, because the thing is that you had the thing jump out in the evolutionary set and get all morphed, and then in this recap page, it goes 1 hour 23 minutes later, Ben Grimm reverted to his non-devolved state. Like, it was just like, really? No, like, you're not even going to show it?
Then they were like, oh, here's how the city got there.
Yeah.
and here's what happened a year later. Yep. Now we'll go from here. So that's going to be basically it's a replacement for Atalan, the Inhuman city in a way,
but with Moloids.
Yeah.
So smart. I love Moloids. I love, but I don't know. Yeah. So, but I do. It wasn't as perfect as the last arc, but after reading it a second time, I thought it was. I did enjoy it more. So
it wasn't an arc. It was.
Well, yeah. Well, no. But I mean,
it's almost like a cold open.
Yeah. Exactly. I know nothing about that.
We'll see.
So okay. Punisher number 13. Rick Remender, Tony Moore. Tony Moore art is just fantastic. It's just that it just got to be said. It's just Tony Moore.
Also top five.
Yeah, I mean he Tony Moore right now is on the top of his game. Some of this art, the detail and the rubble and the pieces of machinery and you know and just like in the fights and the explosions and stuff like that. This was just so much fun to read and you know Frankenstein Punisher it's been good. So I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
And that's what can be said about that. Ron, you probably are. Are you reading the current arc of Northlanders?
It's the best one yet.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Leandro Fernandez. I'm a really big fan of Leandro Fernandez. He first came along. He was the one who did the big noses in Queen of Country.
Yes. He's gotten a lot better.
Oh man, has he? It's a beautiful book. It's very dark and shadowy. I really loved this. It's this playing with. The idea of disease in a closed off like northern.
I've never in Northlanders and really with what Brian was writing, I've never had a more sense of isolation and fear when reading an issue. And it's not even and the issues aren't linear. It's not like one after another. It's summing up this winter. You know, so like last issue didn't happen the day before this issue. Like I get the sense that time is passing, but it's just like such a sense of. Fuck, you know, like
it's cold.
Yeah, it's cold.
It feels cold.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I've really enjoyed this arc a lot, and I don't. I haven't been buying this in issues, but I kept buying it because I read the first one, and I really. This is fantastic.
It's good. It's good.
It's gonna be a great trade.
Yeah. User reviews, Connor.
Desaad, what? He reviewed Batman and Robin number 7. I lost my voice there. Batman and Robin number 7. He gave a 5 out of 5, and the art a 5 out of 4.
It might be the other way around.
That's not a fraction that exists in this rating system. 3.5% of the users gave it a pick of the week review or a pick of the week rating. I'll be honest, I'm having a beer. It's so easy to consider Morrison a big concept guy. This is Desaad's review. More concerned with the ideas than the impact that those ideas have on his characters. But this run is all about the characters. Every arc, every issue has some astoundingly resonant scene or page or panel. His characters are so human here in a way that can be often be lost in a big superhero work. And I thought that this issue was much more of a return to the feel of the first arc than the last arc was.
Well, I think we should get – I mean I think art 4 out of 5, I disagree. Cameron Stewart is fantastic. It's fantastic.
It might have been 5.
Yeah, it was 5. Yeah.
He might have written 5.
And this personally for me, this
– 5 out of 5? If he could have – he should have been – it could have been just crazy math in this art review.
This is going to be no surprise, but like I loved reading – I loved looking at it and I followed the story along. I didn't read – I stopped reading and quietly left. And this is my first time back to this title now, you know, now that the dark time has passed. I don't care about Batman. Like the whole – like, and that's the thing. It's like the same way that, you know, you might not care about X-Men or whatever. Like I'm reading it. I'm just like, I don't really care. But the art was beautiful. So
you don't care about the story. I think you like Batman in other venues.
I like Batman in the same way that Josh has talked about liking the Punisher.
No, it was 4 out of 5 in their review. I just looked it up on the website.
Okay.
Anyway, I like, you know, in the way that Josh likes the Punisher as a device. I enjoy Batman in bigger stories. I don't think I enjoy Batman stories. So
I can see that, like in the way like Batman as he appeared in say Grant Morrison's JLA.
Yeah, was awesome.
Like he was kind of awesome, and I can see those are two different things. That's fine.
That's fine. And I'm not criticizing. I'm not saying it's bad though.
I'm trying to reconcile your enjoyment of the cartoon and the movies and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of it. I don't know, but in the comic form, I just can't. It doesn't pull me in. But Cameron Stewart was great.
You know, the only thing about this was that I missed Damian. That was my favorite part about the book.
He was in the issue. Interchange,
sort of.
He was getting his back all.
He was ripped. He was in Bacta.
Oh, I was trying. I was like, just stop talking. Like, oh, he said it.
The Bacta tank.
The Bacta tank. So,
anyway,
he's gonna be back. Look at the covers that are coming up in this arc.
Yeah, he's back.
Shows up.
That's totally fine. Next up, we have Akamu with. This is a really positive review from him. Ultimate Comics Enemy number 1. Are they just calling him Ultimate Enemy? That doesn't
seem
right.
they're calling them Ultimate Comics.
Ultimate Comics, yeah, Ultimate Comics.
Story of 5 out of 5 and the art of 5 out of 5. And he says, Bendis' Ultimate Enemy number 1 brings back a whole bunch of Ultimate characters that we haven't seen since the Ultimatum wave, and it just feels really good to see them again. You can barely smell Loeb on them at all. Sendivel and Bonnet's art is crisp, but the highlight of this issue are Matthew Wilson's colors. Is that weird? There's this bright bubblegum vibe with these colors that I haven't seen outside of Invincible.
The art on this issue was fantastic.
I loved this. I loved this a lot.
This, again, was another one of those could have been pick of the week books.
That would have blown me away if you picked an ultimate book. Yeah.
In the same way that New Avengers felt refreshed, so did this. And I just really enjoyed this one. And it was what I want out of Marvel Comics.
Yeah, it was really good.
Which is
I'm telling you something, because this is another Bendis book. And I think something happened to Bendis in the last couple of months. He's totally
One of his movie deals went through.
Actually,
there's a question about that. We'll get to that.
For those of you who don't know, Ultimate Enemy, it focused on the female Peter Parker Spider-Man clone,
Spider-Woman,
Ben Grimm, and Invisible Woman from Fantastic Four, and Nick Fury. And it was just great. It was really good. So
something is happening. They all got attacked. The Ultimate Enemy refers to some big enemy in the universe. And I thought this was a lot of fun, and that's what I'm looking for.
Surprise. This is a total surprise book for me. So
I bought it on a whim. I wasn't necessarily going to, but I saw Bendis was going to write it, so I definitely got it. And
good stuff. So go to ifanboy.com/comics. You can see all the books that come out every week. You can do your pull list, and then on Wednesday come back and rate them and write a review, and we might read your review on a future show. So ifanboy.com/comics.
A man is allowed to have some damn chicken.
Yes, he is.
In stock trades, you can save up to 37% off of your orders with free shipping on orders over $50, with over 9,000 trade paperbacks in stock and available for order, with new releases listed every Wednesday and orders usually shipping within 48 hours from www.instocktrades.com. And come to the Summit City Comic Con on May 22nd, Fort Wayne, Indiana, www.summitcitycomiccon.com. You'll find that link on our show notes, and that is in conjunction with In Stock Trades.
It's going to be a great show. If you're in the Indiana area, you're not going to want to miss it.
We don't normally mention trades that came out in the week, but if you're looking to buy a trade and you read In Stock Trades, you should check out the new Geoff Johns Avengers trade, which collects his brief run on Avengers he did about 10 years ago.
Oh, I was going to say to get the Losers Volume 1 and 2 in one edition that just came out this week as well.
Well, there's many things you can do.
Yeah, this is a good week for trades.
I picked up the Avengers trade, the Geoff Johns Avengers, which has art by Gary Frank in it and by Rick Remender.
I remember that. So,
really?
All right. Yes. On to the emails. Our first email comes from PV from Chicago, and he says, have you noticed that compared to his peers, Bendis can't seem to catch a break in the TV and movie business? Looks like the Powers TV pilot is stuck in rewrites, joining the Torso movie in development hell, and this after Jinx fell apart. And meanwhile, Mark Miller can't seem to have an idea that doesn't turn into a movie, and there's rumors of him actually directing something, and the Walking Dead pilot's been greenlit, and Brubaker even had his name in the title of his Angel of Death movie, etc., etc. I know Bendis contributes to the Marvel movies, and no tears need to be shed since he probably still got paid for some of the screenplays, not to mention all the books he has in print. But I can't help to think he'd be frustrated considering all the deals flying around. Do you think it's just rotten Hollywood luck, or is there something about his properties that makes them more difficult to produce? Au contraire, PV.
Yeah.
The news this week broke that his old, old, old indie book, Fire, is greenlit for a movie with Zac Efron.
Yep.
So that's going to make him some money.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
That's going to be big.
Yeah.
I think one of the things is he's always attached to it as the actual writer for a while. So I think he stays more involved with it, which might be one of the reasons. I'm totally speculating.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to A, speculate about what happens in Hollywood. B, it's hard to generalize. You can't generalize anything about Hollywood. I mean, Hollywood is a rare beast. Unless you've ever really been inside of it, it's hard to really understand what happens in there. And stuff gets killed and put in turnaround for any reason or no reason. That's just the way it goes.
And that's the thing. And if you're a fan of Bendis, you probably listen to him on Word Balloon every quarter or so talking stuff. And he's very candid and honest about what he can talk about with the movie stuff. And like, it sounds like Torso was stuck with Fincher and all that stuff. Like, that's an example of it being stuck in development hell. Absolutely. But completely out of his hands, at least from what it sounds like. Powers, I'm pretty sure that's we're going to see that on TV.
Feel like that got stuck. Going. They just attached.
They just decided that they didn't like the script, so they had a new writer come in. So I think FX is pretty gung-ho about getting it on the screen, the air. I don't know. It just may not be soon. That's all.
You know, and the other thing is, you know, there are a lot of people in Hollywood who make careers writing stuff that never gets produced and doing rewrites and things like that.
Things, all those scripts and options and all everything he's ever sold over the last 10 years is making – he can sell a screenplay for more than he's going to make in comics in a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then the other side of that, he also gets to be a successful comic book writer. So, you know, I think that in Bendis, like at his heart, like he wants to be a movie writer guy. I think that that's absolutely clear. But
you can see that. He loves film.
He's still young. In a way, you know, he's got a long way to go.
I think he's gonna be fine.
I think he'll be fine.
Yeah.
I went to.
Did I tell you guys that I optioned the iFanboy story?
Oops.
to his sister.
Yeah.
Art wrote in with just a quick question comment on what we think of San Diego Comic-Con pretty much selling out already. I've attended the last 7 shows, and I'm sad that I waited till 5 months before the damn thing started to buy my passes. This is about the time of the year I always purchase my passes. I didn't think anything would change till a buddy of mine told me they sold out except for Sunday. I'm a little bitter, but I pose the questions to you guys. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? Are the hardcore fans really going, or is it mostly Hollywood types trying to pimp out their latest crap movies and TV shows? Hey, him. He wrote that.
I'm really confused by the Comic-Con selling out thing. I wonder how much of it is going to scalpers and things like that.
I don't know. It's hard to. I mean,
my thing is, we've discussed this before, but if you really want the comic book experience now, I don't think this is the convention for you anymore.
No, it's Emerald City, it's WonderCon, it's New York, it's C2E2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this is, and it's not the Hollywood types pimping their stuff. It's the fans of
people going to see the stuff. Yeah,
yep. Twilight. Yeah,
it's not
200,000 development executives coming down from
yeah,
LA.
Exactly. It's really diehard, you know, Transformers fans or Battlestar fans or whomever that want to see this
sci-fi and,
yep,
and
exactly
just,
yeah.
love that kind of stuff more than comics. Yep. I think that's definitely true. It's not a bad thing because as a fan, as a comic book fan. Yes, there are a lot of people there, but you know, it's not the best comic book show.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you something. A little fact about life. You're gonna find things in life that are gonna be so wonderful and special and fantastic, and it's gonna be your little secret. You're gonna share it with your friends, and then slowly, it's gonna get bigger and bigger and bigger to the point where it makes you sick. And it happens with like music. Look, Lollapalooza. The first 2 Lollapaloozas were fantastic and amazing, and it became a joke. You know, like all those, you know, all these, you know, with these big kind of cultural events, they all reach. I mean, it was the Roman Empire. It happened for an entire society. It reaches a point where it gets so big. Well, no, it's true. And like honestly, I think San Diego will self-destruct in within the next, I think, 5 to 10 years, or move to Vegas. Like it can't. How you guys have been there? How much bigger can
it
get?
It can't get any bigger.
Yeah, they have to. They have to add more. They're going to add more to the convention center. Are they going to build that by July? No, it's going to like it's
none more black.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think it's a bad thing though. I think that's just the popularity. I think it's, you know, at this point, if you don't know that the tickets start, I mean, the tickets start selling for the next year the day after the last con.
Exactly.
You know, if you go on Sunday, you see they're selling them for the next year. So if you don't know by now that you can't wait till January to buy your tickets, then that's on you. I mean, you got to keep up with these things. It's getting bigger and bigger every year, and every year. This is not the first time it's sold out before. And it sold out last year before the con started.
But,
so,
but you know, 5 years ago, you did not have the options like you do now to go to other fantastic comic book center shows, and that's the difference.
Yep. Heroes, so many good shows. Like and geographically, so if you live in the Northeast, just come down to New York. If you live in the Midwest, go to C2E2. Go to the Summit City Comic Con. You know, like if you live in the Pacific Northwest,
California, go to WonderCon.
Yeah, I mean, go to Emerald City if you're in Seattle. You know, like and you can connect with the creators. It's great.
But if you want to go to the movie panels and the things, then you deal with it.
Yep. So
you know that's kind of the deal.
Yep. So shoot us an email, contact@ifanboy.com, if you want to complain about San Diego or any other convention that's going on. All right. We've only got one voicemail today, and here it is.
Yeah, one quick voicemail. Yep.
What's up, fanboys? This is Rap from Detroit. Just wondering if you guys have ever found yourselves in a position where you're starting to fall out of comic books, that you're finding yourself just not as into it as you used to be. And do you have any methods that you found to get yourself loving comic books as much as you once did? Thanks a lot. Bye.
Well, I think this voicemail hits a little close to home for our good friend Josh Flanagan.
I come in and out.
If I recall, Connor, you can back me up here.
Yep.
There was a point where in 2004, 2005, we were convinced we were going to lose you.
Mm-hmm.
You were going once a month. You were buying like 3 books.
You were on your way out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what happens is I think that you guys have seen this with me. Like, I get bored with status quo of things. And the thing about comic books is they're all about maintaining the status quo.
Right.
And for me, it's always about finding something else to get excited about, even if that means going back and reading something you used to love. It's like the thing is, there's so many ways that you can keep reading comics. It's like no one's going to get bored of watching movies. But people are going to get bored if they always go and watch the same kinds of movies all the time from the same people. And I just, like, for me, you have to restoke. You could also start a fairly successful podcast that can get you back into it. But even then, I've had ebbs and flows where you're kind of not as excited.
Well, personally for me, the last time I kind of checked out of comics was 1993.
That was 17 years ago.
Yeah. So I'm waiting for the next one. But I'm still riding this wave.
But you never get bored, like of certain things.
This Wednesday is my little slice of personal private heaven that I can look forward to. And if I can get to Wednesday and get to the store and get my books and go home and read them, then it makes all the bullshit I get through for the 7 days before that worth it. And that's been like that since 1994.
I've been reading comics since the early '80s, and I've never had a point where I thought about even close to stopping. I had been going weekly since 91.
Yep, exactly.
I've never even considered it. I mean, you get to points where the stories get kind of boring and you check out new books, but
I get bored with specific comics, but I don't get bored with comics.
And I don't even mean like I don't think I'd ever stop reading comics. That's never ever going to happen. But the way that I do it, I could see that changing.
Yeah.
You know, like the going every week, like I could get books and read them like that. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. Well, to each their own. But all right, so that's your cross to bear, Rob, Josh, whoever else. Call us at iFanboy call us at 1-888-FANBOYS 326-2697. Let us know if you ever feel like dropping out of comics. And to clarify again, I do get tired of a title. Like I do, like, oh, this is boring or whatever.
You don't stop buying it though.
Well, no, sometimes I do. On the rare occasion. I mean, they're commitments. I made a commitment. I made a pledge. I stood up there in front of everyone and said, I will read this comic till the day I die. So
you didn't.
I know.
One of the ways that a lot of people we know have maybe got bored with comics and they decided to keep going is because they like listening to the show. We've heard that a lot.
Yes.
Not to toot my own horn.
Toot.
But one of the ways that you can help sort of repay that debt and pay it forward, as it were, there's a bunch of different ways you can help the show. You can make sure to click on the banners at iFanboy.com. Those are sponsors. They are there to help us and to help you get all that free content. You can go to iFanboy.com/Amazon, and if you click on the little Powered by Amazon box there, it'll take you to Amazon proper, and anything you were going to buy there will just help the show out. You don't have to do anything about it. That is a wonderful way to help. Thank you, everybody, over the holidays. I got a Bentley because of it.
Stop.
Wait, what?
that's definitely not true. I don't even have the account for that. Another thing you can do is check out the shirts. We have a Smokin' Fear Agent shirt by Jerome Opeña, who is, as you might know, one of mine, Rick Remender and Tony Moore and Jerome Opeña's creation, Fear Agent. And we have the only Fear Agent shirt in existence, I believe. Ever made.
Sanctioned by Rick himself. And this shirt is selling at Herm speeds.
Herm speed?
Yes. Yeah. So.
God, that you know what? I want a big-ass Fear Agent hardcover book someday.
You're going to get it.
I know. And there's still some of the Battle Pug shirts left? Not many.
Yeah, there's a few. There's 25. Not a few. There's about 20, 25, and some of the sizes are sold out. So make sure when you go to order, you check to see what sizes are available, what aren't available. But, yeah, they're almost out. They're almost done.
It's so cool every day that people are getting them, taking a picture, and put them on Twitter.
Yeah, that's really cool. If you get your shirt, put it on, take a picture, put it on Twitter. So
that's really cool. Yeah. And the other way you can do is to become an iFanboy member. We've talked to you about this before. It's the most direct way that you can help support the show. If this is something that's important to you and you can stand to spend a little bit of extra money to keep things going around here, we appreciate it more than you possibly know. It's just a little something you won't feel very much. $4 a month or $42 a year, or if you really want, $10 a month or $100 a year, and for that you will get an iFanboy prize pack, button stickers, or comic book. For the higher rate, you would get a t-shirt as well. And you will be eligible for the many giveaways. I don't know if you've noticed it. We've given away a lot of cool stuff, and we are just getting effing started.
I really hope you are continuing to listen to this podcast so you hear the awesome giveaways that we've got lined up. So Planet Hulk, the movie, the DVD movie is coming out, the animated movie. Comes out on Tuesday. We have teamed up with the folks who put out Planet Hulk, and they've given us two copies of the DVD. We have a regular DVD and a Blu-ray DVD to give away. So we're going to be giving those discs away to a lucky member, and we hope that one of you have a Blu-ray player, but we'll figure that out. We'll be giving away two copies of the DVD only to members. So you got to make sure you sign up. We're going to be giving it away next week on next week's show. So you've got 1 week. You got to sign up by next Thursday. Say that. And in addition to those DVDs, we're also going to be giving away two autographed posters of the movie, of the box art of the movie, the big Hulk, you know, grabbing the planet, signed by Alex Ross.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of Alex Ross signed stuff this month.
That's a lot. Yeah, it is actually. So if you want to win the poster, if you want to win a DVD, you got to be a member. So make sure you're signed up by Thursday. And then also look at ifanboy.com because we're going to have a post of all the great month of giveaways in February. February is a short month, but we're packing in with giveaways. And can we tell them about the big giveaway? Do I have to wait a week?
Gotta wait.
Oh, killing me. All right.
It's a big giveaway at the end of the month. This is going to be a big giveaway month. So you want to go to ifanboy.com and see the red post at the very top that shows you everything we're giving away this month.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So
very cool. All of that stuff can be found over at ifanboy.com, which is our website. If you listen to the show or you watch the video show, you just do one of those things, you're missing out by missing the others. The website is a hub of activity. A lot of stuff's going on. There's been a lot of cool things going up there this week and a lot of fun conversation about it. And make sure you go there and check it out every single day. You can go to ifanboy.com/about. You can find out who we are and other ways to hook up with us on the web and follow us
and
everywhere.
If you are on Twitter, go to twitter.com/ifanboy and follow ifanboy because that's a good way to get a lot of good stuff and see creators and we're talking to people and stuff like that. So
I'll tell you something. If you're following me on Twitter and you're in the New York area, there's a good chance you could get something too because I got some stuff I got to get rid of.
Doing random giveaways.
Random giveaways. Those will happen too.
I got a couch. Got an old microwave. Doesn't really work anymore.
Get some shelves. No.
Got some old clothes I don't fit anymore.
Good comics. Video show also is every Wednesday. This last week was the Wildstorm show. Very fun show.
A lot of good feedback on that show.
Yeah. It's what's really neat is that people have been saying like they've been going and checking out the books and a lot of people have been coming out of the woodwork going, wow, that does sound good. And I think it's I'm on board to go forward with Wildstorm. So that's awesome. And then this next week we got ourselves another anthology show coming up.
Nice.
So whatever you think of that. But Josh, I think they're a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
This one's going to be a good one this week.
So. Josh, we know what you should do is when I was working at Miramax, they came in one day, there's a big box of clothes, and I asked, well, whose clothes are those? And it was Billy Bob Thornton's clothes, and you should do that. You should get a big box of your clothes.
I think he's got to lose the weight first.
And then gain it, and then lose it.
You could be iFanboys, the internet's own Josh Flanagan, giving away your clothes.
Are you giving away clothes? Really?
No, I have comics to give away.
I think you should give away clothes. I think that'd be more. Who wants a shirt from Josh Flanagan?
No, the Josh Flanagan worn.
Everyone on Twitter say I want @JFlanagan shirt. That's what I want to see. Yeah, so say that. Say I say and then throw @iFanboy in there somewhere.
Yes,
I want to see a concert of people wanting Josh's clothes on Monday on Twitter. Okay,
this will be like when we tried to do the 5-cent PayPal donation movement and we got 15 cents.
Anyway,
that was
a long time ago. We should try that again.
Yeah, we should.
Because it cost more money.
Cost money on that deal. All right. You can send us an email at contact@ifanboy.com. We should find out what the minimum is, and maybe it's 50 cents. Or leave a voicemail, 888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697, with any questions, comments, concerns, discussion topics. Unless they're 3 minutes long, then we don't want – again, we should reiterate. We haven't done it in a while. Keep it to 30 seconds.
Say your name.
Say where you're from. That's how you get on the show. If you want to get on the show, wondering why your voicemails aren't getting on the show, 30 seconds, name, where you're from. That's what we're looking for.
That voicemail we just played from Rob, that was 23 seconds. He said his name. He had a good question. He told us where he was from.
Golden.
Man, he's a veteran.
That's how you get on the show. You get a lot of voicemails that can't make it on the show because they're just too long or you don't say who you are. And that's just, how you get on the show.
So, and if you like the show, head over to iTunes, write a review, let people know about it, help spread the word. And while you're on iTunes, search for iFanboy Don't Miss and subscribe to the Don't Miss podcast. This past week, we welcomed Chris Niesman, formerly of Around Comics, now of iFanboy, as well as 11 O'Clock Comics.
Hey, those guys are out of comics.
Yeah, Chris is going to be coming on and joining us and doing some Don't Misses every once in a while. And he did a great one with the guy with Christos Gage and Mike Costa behind G.I. Joe Cobra 2, number one. So subscribe to Don't Miss, write a review, Don't Miss, help spread the word about Don't Miss, definitely, because we're doing more great shows. We're going to have another great one coming this Monday. I'm going to be doing it. It's going to be a surprise as to who it is. So tune into that and write a review for it. Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah.
I got to say, there's been some hell of this between that one and the Scott Alley. I'm like, man, why am I not on these shows?
Yeah, I'm wondering that too.
Good question, Josh.
Yeah, good question. Why aren't you?
I had somewhere to be. They were good, though. You know what? The other side, I get to be a fan for those. Like, I really enjoyed listening to those shows.
Well,
and
what's so funny is that now when I do those interviews, I know you guys are listening, and so I'm horrified to fuck them up. So, I'm glad that I didn't screw up the Scott Alley one, because that could have gone south quickly.
And, yeah.
Yeah, but Paul was MVP on that one, big time.
Yeah, I do know that when you – I can tell when you don't have anything to say. I don't know if the normal listener does. You're like,
Shut up.
So that's cool. Abort, abort, abort.
All right. Before we give away any more secrets, we're going to wrap it up. So until next week, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I am Josh. Anything, do something, do something, anything, do something a little out of character, it won't kill you. Do something, anything, do something true.
Oh, really awesome. Look at you. Look at you, Johnny Editing Machine.
That's a bad nickname. Johnny Editing Machine is a bad nickname.
He's the one tough guy you're not afraid of.
Yeah, Johnny Editing Machine. Yeah, why don't you go edit your clips?
Why don't you go render?
What are you? Cuts only? Come on.
Hey, Star Wipe.
Your mother was a Grass Valley. That's the nerdiest joke I've ever told.
I did it, kid.
Thank you. Good night.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that because you keep going on and on over and over in your mind about it. And like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it. Work your way through it. Figure out coping skills, how to get around it. You know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing. You should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.